I did not expect that anyone would ever hear these songs. They just kind of came. They just flowed out of me.
The fact that so much of the church has just tried to replicate the sensory bombardment of the world is a huge miss.
The Living Church, serving the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Communion since 1878. Welcome to the Living Church Podcast.
Welcome back, podcast listeners. Today, we've got some music in the studio. Singer-songwriters Layla Way and Ryan Flanagan will join us from Resurrection South Austin to play some new tunes for us on air and talk about the intersections of music with church life, family life, and life with God. Today's episode was a reminder for me of God's faithfulness in conflict and pain, and why beauty, the arts, and artists are so vital to and for the church. Between sets, I'll chat with the musicians about the stories behind the songs and about what art might teach ministry, especially about inviting others into the pain and the gift of faith in Christ. Layla Way is a songwriter in Austin, Texas. She writes and records songs for the church. She likes to set scripture and heartfelt prayers to music. Ryan Flanagan serves as music director at Resurrection Church South Austin and as theological artist in residence at Baylor University. Ryan is also the founder of Liturgical Folk, which seeks to create beautiful and believable sacred music for the church and the world. Layla's songs that we're going to hear today are from her new album, You Don't Carry It Alone, and Ryan's are from his new collaboration with musician John Guerra, Three Gifts. You can find a set list in the show notes. And in case you haven't gotten the invitation elsewhere, let me offer it here. If you will be in Louisville during General Convention, please connect with us at the Living Church. We'll have a booth in the exhibit hall, and we'll also be out and about. You can meet some of our staff, including myself and Executive Director Dr. Matthew Olver and Editor Father Mark Michael and several more of some of the best people in the world. We'll also be hosting a prize drawing for free subscriptions, tickets to events, and a library of Living Church books. And then Tuesday night, June 25th, we're going to help host a special event at Christ Church Cathedral at 7:30 p.m., a photography exhibit and artists talk. The event is free. It's called God at Eye Level. We'll have drinks and desserts from a local bakery, enjoy some stunning photography, and learn how portraiture is a way of encountering God. June 25th, 7:30 p.m., Christ Church Cathedral, Louisville. No RSVP required, but you can find more info if you want at livingchurch.org/events. Finally, if you like what you hear today, you can find a short and sweet interview between Ryan and Layla in our March issue of the magazine or on our website. We'll have a link to that article in the show notes. Now, don't fret, my friends. We're tuning up for a good time. Two of the worst puns I have used in this intro, but we're going to let them stand. We hope you enjoy the conversation and the music.
I'm walking with the Lord and it hurts. I'm walking with the Lord and it hurts. I'm walking with the Lord. Well, he did say we'd suffer for him. I'm walking with the Lord and it hurts. Well, it isn't as if I should be surprised, oh no. He said to follow him, we'd have to die. And dying, well, it hurts, but he brings that sweet rebirth. No, it isn't as if I should be surprised, oh no. Beloved, now don't you be surprised. If you don't wanna hear this, that's just fine, fine, fine. No, if you don't wanna hear this, that's just fine. But one day these words will cheer you and you'll know that it's your time. Trials if we seek that life divine. But if you're not ready to hear this, that's just fine, fine, fine. No, if you're not ready to hear this, that's just fine.
Wow, that first line, Layla, I'm walking with the Lord and it hurts. The first time I listened to your album, I'm sure this is a lot of people's experience listening to the song. Tears started in my eyes because it's so true. It's so true. That deep walk comes with a lot of deep pain.
Mm-hmm.
It has this initial electronic drum beat that's like a heart pounding or a heart skipping a beat.
Yes.
How did this song come to you? This is a very personal song, emotional song. How did it come to you?
So I wrote this song during a difficult period where I was separated from my husband. We were actually separated for 5 years. So it was a long season of just, I guess, trying to figure things out, trusting God when it felt like the outcome was really unsure, and raising my 3 kids. So I think there's just a lot of loneliness, but also a lot of like, I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm where God has me for a reason, but it still hurts. Like, you know, it's like, I know I'm walking with the Lord, but it's still pretty darn painful.
It seems to me you have a very pastoral voice in your music too, Layla. Like this line in the song where you say, if you're not ready to hear this, that's just fine. And you're not being sarcastic, you know, like, well, that's just fine. I mean, you're being 100% serious. And so I wondered, combined with that and your use of the word beloved in this song, whether the epistles of John had an influence on you at this time, or whether there was, you know, what scriptural influences are in this song?
I think there's a lot of like kingdom language in this probably. I think a lot of the song I was singing a little bit for myself, like to remind me, like, yes, this hurts, but this is not forever. You know, we're promised redemption. We're promised no tears in the future. So there's a little bit of that revelation language. I think I kind of had certain people in mind sometimes when it's like, some people aren't going to be ready to hear this, and that's okay. But just how God calls us beloved, you know, even in suffering, I think that we can feel his gaze of love. And I felt like I wanted to reaffirm that to myself and also just communicate that to other people. Like, don't forget who you are. You're God's beloved. But don't be surprised about suffering. I mean, I think that's Paul probably, right? Don't be surprised as if something unusual were happening to you. Yeah, some people have said that, like you said, that first line. Oh, that first line just really got me. It makes me glad to know that it resonates.
It sets the tone for the whole record, doesn't it?
Yeah, Ryan told me I should make that the first song on the album. So I think he's trying to take credit for that.
Oh, no, I was not saying
I'm
that.
I'm just kidding.
That song comes right out of the gate, like totally open heart, very vulnerable truth. Mm-hmm. Is it easier to do through art? I'm not a songwriter, but is it true that it's sometimes easier in that artistic process to lay your heart on the line than it is in like a conversation over coffee or day-to-day interactions?
Oh yeah, I definitely think so. And in fact, like when I wrote this song and some other songs on the album, like I did not expect that anyone would ever hear these songs. They just kind of came. They just flowed out of me. And so it wasn't until a few years later when my church offered me a songwriter in residence position that I started looking at songs I already had. And then I was like, oh, I could do a whole album of, you know, these songs for hard times. It felt really vulnerable. It felt scary to put that out there.
Can you play us another song, Layla?
This is another walking song. I guess I like the idea of walking with God. I like the old gospel song, like, I want Jesus to walk with me. So this is called Walking On. I'm walking home, and Lord, I'll keep walking on, even when my strength is all but gone. Just Jesus, please hold my hand, show me how you'll work your plan. You're gonna work your plan while I'm walking on.
Thank you, Layla. The ukulele at the beginning and the way you sometimes bend your voice in a kind of bluegrassy way, who are some of your influences?
It's hard to answer because I feel like I grew up on just such a variety of music. I mean, we listened to old gospel. We listened to everything except country music was not allowed in my home growing up. But old country was okay. So like, yeah, Johnny Cash and stuff is fine. I mean, my dad is a huge Beatles fan. Yeah, everything from classical to reggae to even a little hip hop, like just all kinds of things. I like India Irie a lot. I like her acoustic soul album.
There's a lot of soul. You have a lot of soul in your voice. I think her music is very unique because it's so devotional or pastoral, as you said. Which is it's a power combination, honestly. There could be soul music about, you know, last night's fling and it'll do something, right? It'll make you feel something. But a soul song about suffering for the sake of Christ, it's going to do something different.
What you guys have mentioned reminds me of this awesome fact that's so easy to forget, that God must enjoy every kind of music. Mm-hmm. There's sort of no style through which he is not glorified. And the way that every genre can be so powerful, and just the challenge always to keep exploring, to break open every genre and see, can we say more stuff in this really powerful voice? Well, Ryan, would you regale us, please, with a song? I'd love to hear something from your new album, your latest album, a collaboration. Who are you collaborating with? John Guerra, musician named John Guerra?
Yeah, it was just the two of us. Of course, we hired a bunch of other musicians for the production, but in my residency at Baylor, I have been writing a lot of poetry, which has been surprising, just a surprising sort of vocational turn for me lately. For several years, I had a partnership with Father Nelson Kaszewski, who would write poems and send them to me, and I would set them to music. I felt it since I'm writing poetry now, it would only be fair for me to give the poems to other people, other songwriters, to be the ones to set them to music. So John actually lives in pretty much our neighborhood here in South Austin. We wrote a couple hymns together that were like, wow, this is fun. And then I wrote one based on hope. Actually, the last line of Suffrage's Be from Morning Prayer in the book Common Prayer. In you, Lord, is our hope, and we shall never hope in vain. And it just hit me one morning, and I just started writing a poem. John wrote music to it, and I was like, maybe we should write one on faith, too. So I wrote one on faith, and then, well, let's complete the trilogy of eternal virtues. And so I did one on love, and before we knew it, we had this little EP, Faith, Hope, and Love, which we call Three Gifts. And so, yeah, the first song on the album is On Faith, and that's the one I want to play. And Layla's going to help me by singing. In you, Lord, is our faith, and we shall not believe in vain. For Christ is first among the resurrection of the slain. Yet some of us deny the dead can raise to life again. Were this the case, then Jesus' bones the tomb would still contain. And we would be most pitied for the faith we'd have to feign. A certain mind may think belief is only in the head, that learning happens chiefly when the word is heard or read. Beloved, this is not the way our Savior preached and led. To Jesus and his followers, belief and action wed. And so his brother James knew faith apart from works is dead. Now we behold in wonder this mysterious motif. Christ has died, is risen, and is coming like a thief to break into our prison home and take away our grief. The doubt-filled and tormented mind may finally find relief. This we believe with all our heart, Lord, help our unbelief.
So Ryan, I've known your work for several years now. We were chatting earlier. We've known each other for almost 10 years. And when I think of what you've written across time, your music is based on the Book of Common Prayer, based on the Eucharistic liturgy, psalms, prayers, seasons of the church, and now most recently, the theological virtues. Mm. So you're worshiping, you're also doing catechesis through music. But I was curious how this intersects with your own story. When you look at the progression of your music over time,
what kind of story do you think that you are telling?
Yeah, that's very astute. I think catechesis is definitely an accurate word. We say that our music is our music project, Liturgical Folk, is devotional, it's lighthearted, it's catechetical. In fact, part of the impetus for starting it, the project, was to teach our kids how to pray. I grew up in a Pentecostal church like you, Amber, and I knew the stories of the Bible, right? I was taught the stories of the Bible, especially the big ones. But I was just on this journey deeper and deeper and deeper into the scriptures and into the holy tradition. And so I kept finding myself pursuing just the next level down, whether that's back through history, back to the church fathers, and or just, yeah, it, I just always found myself kind of going deeper and deeper and deeper. Even though I had a wonderful, I smile upon my past experiences in the Pentecostal church and evangelical church. There were also some sort of shaky things that happened, questionable things. But I have always just, I've always had a gift from God, a gift of faith, basically. If for whatever reason I was doubting or questioning or whatever, it just set me on a quest to closer to God, like to find the truth, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, my journey is less of kind of that dramatic journey that, you know, the typical youth group testimony, you know, when the drug addict gets saved and it's a super dramatic thing. My story has been walking with the Lord and just trying to get closer and closer. Or trying to narrate what it's like to get closer and closer to the Lord.
Yeah. The drug story is always hard to follow in youth group testimony time. So I'm glad you found a way to narrate, yes. narrate your story too. Mm-hmm. Hello, friends. I would like to invite you to an experience that rocked my world a few years ago. I traveled to Rome with a special group of friends where Christian history and the body of Christ came alive to me in a way that I will never forget. Join Nashota House Theological Seminary, the Living Church, and the Anglican Communion Office for the trip of a lifetime, Christian Unity in Rome. This journey will trace how the calling to Christian unity is built into the bones of Anglican history, and especially in our history with the Roman Catholic Church. It'll take us from the Colosseum to the Reformation, from the Second Vatican Council to contemporary debates in theology. If you come, you will enjoy classes with your fellow pilgrims taught by world-class instructors, worship at glorious historic churches in Rome. You'll tour the Sistine Chapel, St. Peter's Basilica, the Scavi, the burial site of St. Peter, and the Colosseum. You will take an optional day trip to Assisi. You'll eat incredible food and so much more. The registration deadline is Friday, June 30th. Get more information and register now at nashota.edu/Rome. Well, I would love to hear about another one of the theological virtues. Can you share with us?
Yes, I'd love to. Hope is the first one we wrote in this series of Faith, Hope, and Love. And it's also a teaching song, right? I'm kind of trying to provoke a different way of thinking about these theological virtues because they can become really churchy words that we don't really know what they mean. So I sort of juxtapose or I contrast hope, theological hope or Christian hope with wishing. That's where I went with this poem. And John Guerra wrote the music, composed the music. And Layla will be singing the song.
Great.
And you, Lord, is our hope. And we shall never hope in vain. For hope, along with faith and love, forever will remain. She honestly accounts for all our suffering and pain. And the She chooses not to let despair invade the heart and brain. Now hope in you is different, Lord, than wishing for the best. For wishing seeks to serve the self and put you to the test. Had Jesus jumped when Satan said you'd save at his behest, he could have only wished for angel wings to manifest. But since his hope was in you, Lord, you strengthened his protest. We hope.
We hope.
We hope.
We hope.
When we say we hope in you, Lord, may it truly be. For far too often what we mean is do what's best for me. We think that if you grant us wishes, life will be more free. Forgetting that your ways are way beyond what we can see. And only hope in you will lead the soul to victory. We hope.
We hope.
We hope.
We hope.
In you.
In you.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
We hope.
We hope.
We hope.
We hope.
In you.
In you.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
We
That was lovely. And Ryan, I think that was a great example of what you said before you played it. You mentioned, I think you were trying to even push back on what I said about your music being teaching a little bit, because teaching can so easily become teachy. Mm. And I know that a lot of listeners are Christian leaders, they're pastors, they're teachers, you know, they're raising kids, trying to raise them in the faith. And you know when you're a teacher, that moment when you're saying the thing you know is technically true, but it's just falling flat. Mm. And so part of teaching being a way of surprising the one who's learning. And even in your melody, that melody kept catching me off guard. Mm-hmm. It kept sort of opening little doors instead of closing them off. Mm. Lines didn't end in the way that I expected mm-hmm. them to. There were sort of questions built into the music. I heard that. I just want to tell you I heard that.
Can I tell you a little story?
Yeah.
Quick story. So one of the first hymns that Father Nelson and I wrote is called A Hymn for Martyrs. And it's actually the first song on our Edenland album, our first collection of hymns that Father Nelson and I wrote. And he wrote that song in response to the 29 Coptic Christians who were beheaded on the beach several years ago. I don't know if you remember that. And at the time, his grandson was 12 years old. And his grandson came up to Father Nelson, who was a retired priest at the time, and said, "Papa, how could God let this happen?" So what did Father Nelson do? Did he say, "Well, you see, there's this thing called theodicy, and let me explain it to you, grandson"? No, he did not do that. He wrote a poem for him as a way to kind of invite his 12-year-old grandson to engage with the question in a way that would draw him to Jesus, that wouldn't push him away from God, which can happen with teaching, right? In the way that we have, in our westernized sort of way, have come to think teaching needs to happen. So he taught me a lot through that story as far as using art, using poetry, using imagination to invite people into a different kind of understanding.
That's a great story. Well, Layla, I would love to hear a song from you. In the last episode on the podcast, I think the last episode, by the time this one airs, will have been one on communion across difference, which is a conversation that's being continued in the Episcopal Church about how people, especially clergy with different convictions about same-sex marriage and about LGBTQ community rights and how the welcoming of the church operates, what do we do with tradition, and being able to hold space for people on opposite sides theologically and to form friendships and to deepen friendships there to stay in communion. People who are interested in staying in communion and friendship and relationship with one another as Christians. And you mentioned in an email that you have recently written a song based on, was it a Catholic prayer for Christian unity?
Mm-hmm. I like to write songs from prayers and from the prayer book and things too. So I thought I'm going to look for a prayer for unity. And then I found, this was just something I found online, so I don't know the reference, but it was a Catholic prayer for unity. And I started putting the words to music. I think it feels like a communion song. I did want to talk about how like we're made one through the Eucharist. And so I think you'll hear some of that language here.
Jesus, you gave yourself for the good of all. But you see your people, your one holy church, divided by the fall. We come to your altar, undeserving, but seeking mercy.
If people wanted to find that song, listen to it, download it, is there a place where they could find it right now?
Not right now. I don't have it recorded yet. I could maybe put it on Instagram or something.
Okay. So currently, as of when we're recording this, May 16th, 2024, the Living Church podcast is the only place
that's right.
You will be able to find this song, ladies and gentlemen. So share it with a friend.
There you have it.
Share it with a friend.
Very fresh.
I wondered if I could just mention something, Layla, that I thought of as I was thinking about this song. The words of one of the guests of our last podcast episode. She said the reason she's on this Communion Across Difference task force is that to Christians that she disagrees with, she says, I'd rather be with you. I'd rather have communion with you than have everything that I want. Mm. I was thinking about that in relation to your song and in relation to the story that you shared about your marriage, this painful reality that maybe is applicable in some way to family life or even to our relationship with God.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like relationships are always hard if you're getting anywhere below surface level, you know? I mean, Jesus prayed that his followers would be one, so that is important to me as much as possible. It seems like we should strive for that.
Do you want to work for the Living Church? Because that's what
we do. We do work for the Living Church.
No, that's true. That's true. That's true. I guess we don't have the only trademark on that name. I'm curious, as singer-songwriters working in the late 20th, early 21st century, when you listen to the devotional and the worship music that people are making now, it's so different in so many ways from what people were making in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. We're not hearing much sort of like sweet praise flute, steel drums. I remember steel drums and like a praise whistle, you know, and there was a sort of Jewish music, messianic Jewish music phase. I mean, but there were certain modes that you don't hear now. And there was at a certain point what I'm trying to figure out what to call it, like the quiet turn in praise and devotional music, where questions are being engaged, minor keys are okay, a profound melancholy can really be engaged. So I'm just curious whether you guys have thought about this at all or noticed this. Why do you think this is? What do you think maybe we're working through or trying to offer to God in this phase of the 21st century, I guess?
There's a hunger in the world right now for quietness, even though people don't realize it, because we're just so bombarded. And the fact that so much of the church has just tried to replicate the sensory bombardment of the world is a huge miss. And it actually pushes us away from drawing near to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you just see throughout scripture, the quietness is where you hear the still small voice of God. I mean, I'm sure the Lord can reveal himself through something very loud, but I think the hunger right now in the world is for the quietness. So, you know, I'm always accused of being way too contemplative, and that's probably true. And that's reflected in my musical choices and probably in my slowness of speech. But yeah, that's how I would answer that question.
Well, you know, another thing to think about is that Christian praise that has been some of the loudest and most effective Christian praise, like gospel music, Christian praise in the Black church tradition, even some Southern gospel, have often come from places where, socially speaking, their own ability to make noise, to have a voice in wider society has just been muted and put down. But when you come into the presence of the Lord, maybe it's that whatever it is that the enemy wants to not let be expressed, that when you come to the presence of God, that's freed up, that's available for you, whether that's contemplation and silence, or whether that's the sweet, sweet praise flute and a 200-member choir and running the aisles, you know, whatever it needs to be. Certainly, Ryan, if you ever bring steel drums or praise flute or any of that into your music, I'll be very surprised, but I'll also be there for it.
Yeah, it's probably not too far away. In fact, my son is in the steel drum band at his high school.
That's exciting.
And it's amazing. And it's very expensive, but it sounds so cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Can I take your metaphor a little further? Or not a metaphor, but like your observation? about
sure.
the Black, especially the Black church and marginalized communities sort of being silenced in the world. And so when they come together for worship, it's like an outburst of praise. I would almost say that we who have a loud voice in the world might have the adverse kind of experience in the church, mm-hmm. right?
That where, God, we come into his, God's presence and he's like,
shut up. Yeah.
Shut up.
Like, you've talked enough. That's just that, that's something really interesting to think about.
Well, I'd love to invite both of you to play a final song of your choosing. And I think that you'd planned on sharing a duet with us.
Yeah. Everybody should know this. They can sing along.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful.
That's one of my favorites, guys. Thanks.
I love that one.
Lovely. I've been talking with today and enjoying the music of Layla Way and Ryan Flanagan. Ryan, Layla, thank you so much for sharing your time.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's fun.
Thanks for tuning in to the Living Church Podcast, a ministry of the Living Church.
Special thanks today to Michael Way and Resurrection Church South Austin for their technical assistance for this episode. Now, in 2 weeks, we're going to be at General Convention and taking a break from the podcast. So don't forget to visit our booth or join us for an artist reception on June 25th at Christ Church Cathedral. When we return, we'll have some post-convention convo, tips on preaching the Transfiguration, and clergy power couples navigating life, ministry, and boundaries. Until then, our producer is Leslie Thompson. I'm Amber Noel, your host, and it's been good to be with you. Peace.